Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Welcome to the Divergent Files podcast. A pastor calls it a demon. A Pentagon analyst calls it a UAP. An ancient scribe called it a watcher. A medieval witness, a fairy. A Muslim scholar, a jinn. Five civilizations, five different names, and yet the descriptions are almost impossible to tell apart. The stories themselves are different. The behavior is disturbingly familiar. Something appears, something communicates, something changes the witness, and then it disappears. Thousands of years pass, and humanity gives it another name. What if we've never been encountering different things or different beings? What if we've been encountering the same one over and over and over again? Tonight, we're not asking whether UFOs are real. We're asking, what if ancient people weren't describing mythology? What if they were describing the same phenomenon we still don't understand today? You would think this comparison falls apart almost immediately. Demons aren't UFOs. Watchers aren't jinn. Fairies aren't angels. They come from different religions, different civilizations, and different centuries. Their appearances vary wildly. The behavior is where the overlap starts showing up. They appear unexpectedly. They behave intelligently. They cross boundaries humans cannot. They communicate. They affect the witness. And then they disappear. That is a remarkably specific behavioral pattern to keep finding in cultures separated by centuries and continents. And if the pattern is real, someone should have noticed it long before YouTube comment sections did. And someone did. And he came from a place you probably wouldn't expect. A professor of religion at one of America's top universities. Jeffrey Kripal holds the J. Newton Razor Chair in Philosophy and Religious Thought at Rice University, and he has spent years studying exactly the material most UFO investigations leave out, which is the human encounter. In 2021, Rice University interviewed Kripal after the U.S. government released its preliminary UAP assessment. Kripal argued that the UFO phenomenon has two sides. One is the hard evidence, like objects, images, radar, physical traces. The other is the human experience, close encounters, altered states, trauma, transformation. But then he went further. Kripal said humans have been reporting strange humanoid presences in the sky and environment not for decades, but for millennia. And he pointed researchers toward an unusual place to look for them, our histories, our literature, and especially our religions. His point was broader than ancient gods being aliens. He believed the modern UFO category might simply be too small for the phenomenon people are actually reporting. A completely different researcher had reached a remarkably similar problem from the scientific side, and he had spent decades trying to classify it. Jacques Vallée was not looking for theology. He was looking for patterns in UFO cases. Vallée is an astronomer and computer scientist who became interested in something many UFO investigations treated as secondary. He focused on the encounter itself, not only the object being reported. And in 2005, Vallée and physicist Eric Davis published a paper proposing a formal way to study the problem. They divided UAP encounters into six layers. The first was physical, objects occupying space, like heat, light, photographs, ground impressions, electromagnetic disturbances, the kinds of things you would expect if someone were dealing with an advanced machine. Their anti-physical layer included reports of objects changing shape, becoming transparent, appearing or disappearing, along with missing or distorted time. Other layers covered psychological and physiological effects such as burns, paralysis, nausea, difficulty breathing, and temporary blindness. A fifth category dealt with what they called psychic effects. Not as proof of anything supernatural, they were classifying reports involving apparent communication without an ordinary sensory channel, objects seeming to anticipate a witness's thoughts, unusual dreams or visions, and personality changes after encounters. The sixth layer was cultural. What the encounter does not just to the witness, but to the society trying to explain it. That paper created a much bigger problem for the simple alien spacecraft model, because Vallée and Davis were not arguing that the phenomenon was physical instead of psychological. They were arguing that some reported encounters seemed to be both. The same case could involve something physical, something happening to the body, and something affecting the witness psychologically. And once Vallée started comparing those encounters with older human traditions, the similarities stopped beginning in 1947. This is where the word demon becomes more interesting. The Greek daimon did not originally mean a horned creature from hell. It could refer more broadly to a spiritual agency or lesser divine being occupying a space somewhere between humans and the gods. Not necessarily evil and not necessarily good. Something with agency capable of affecting human life. Christianity later gave that category a much darker meaning. Hostile spiritual intelligences became demons. And Christian scripture does not describe them simply as monsters. Ephesians describes rulers, authorities, powers, spiritual forces beyond ordinary flesh and blood. Paul also warns that a hostile intelligence can present itself as something good, even something luminous. Satan, he writes, can disguise himself as an angel of light. Whether someone accepts that theology is not the point. The category describes an unseen intelligence with agency, capable of interacting with people, influencing perception, and appearing in a form that may not reveal what it actually is. Now place that beside the encounters we have already looked at. The name is different. The warning is strangely familiar. Calling something demonic still does not identify what it is. Before flying saucers, Europe had another name for beings that seemed to live beside us without fully belonging to our world. They called them fairies, and not the tiny winged creatures we think of today, not Tinkerbell. The older traditions were much darker. In Celtic folklore, fairy beings could appear in human form and disappear again. People claimed they could be taken by them, sometimes physically, sometimes in a trance, sometimes without knowing where they had gone. Folklorist W.Y. Evans Wentz collected accounts of people who believed they had been carried away and returned unable to explain where they had been. Welsh traditions described something stranger. A person entering the world of the Tylwyth Teg could experience what felt like a single night, while far more time passed outside. Evans Wentz documented stories in which hours in fairyland became weeks, months, or years in the human world. With missing time, abductions, beings appearing and disappearing, a realm seemingly overlapping ours. Witnesses returning with incomplete memories. None of this proves anyone was abducted. These are folklore traditions, not police reports. But centuries later, modern witnesses would describe beings appearing without warning, being taken somewhere they could not identify, losing periods of time, and returning convinced they had encountered something outside ordinary human experience. They called it alien abduction. The old Europeans had another name, fairyland. Europe was not the only civilization describing beings that seemed to exist beside humanity. Islam has another category, the jinn. And calling them simply demons misses what makes them interesting. The Quran describes jinn as a separate order of beings. Humans are created from clay. Jinn are described as being created earlier, from smokeless or scorching fire. They belong to neither category. The Quran treats them as something else entirely. They are intelligent. They speak. They make choices. Some are described as righteous. Others are not. That means Islamic tradition does not treat every unseen intelligence as automatically evil. It describes beings with their own motives and agency. Then the story of Solomon adds something harder to ignore. Some jinn are described as working for him. They build, they interact with the physical world. And when Solomon asks who can bring him the throne of the Queen of Sheba, a powerful jinn says he can do it before Solomon even rises from his seat. A non-human intelligence existing alongside humanity, capable of communication and physical interaction. And there is one more detail. The jinn are not visitors from another planet. They are already here. They are different from us, normally outside our perception, sharing the same world. Islam gave the intelligence one name. Medieval Europe gave it another. Neither needed another planet to explain where it came from.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier looking skin. CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first Laser Center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
The Book of Enoch describes something more aggressive. It gives the beings a name, the Watchers, and it gives them a number, 200. According to the text, they descend onto Mount Hermon and bind themselves by oath to what they are about to do. They organize around a decision to cross a boundary they were not supposed to cross. The Watchers take human women. Their offspring are described as giants. But the contact does not stop there. They begin teaching. Azazel teaches humans how to work metals and make weapons. Others teach astronomy, the movement of the stars, signs of the earth, knowledge of the moon, forms of hidden knowledge. Humanity does not discover these things gradually in the story. They are transmitted from them to us. That makes Enoch much more than a story about evil spirits. It is a story about contact. A non-human intelligence enters the human world. It interacts physically with humans. It transfers knowledge. And the contact changes what comes afterward. And then the Watchers are punished. But they are not simply destroyed. They are bound and confined beneath the earth until a future judgment. They are contained rather than destroyed. Fragments of Enoch survived among the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the New Testament letter of Jude preserves language drawn from the Enochic tradition. This story existed long before Roswell. Ancient stories are easy to dismiss, but a burn is harder. On May 20th, 1967, Stefan Michalak was prospecting near Falcon Lake in Manitoba when he said two glowing objects descended toward him. One remained in the air, the other landed nearby. Michalak approached it, believing it might be some kind of experimental aircraft. According to his account, part of the object rotated toward him. A blast of heat struck his chest. He left the forest injured. When RCMP officers interviewed him 3 days later, they reported that he appeared to be suffering from an unknown illness severe enough that he could not take them back to the alleged site. He also had burns. A distinct geometric pattern appeared across his abdomen. Michalak said it corresponded to the grid-like opening that had faced him when the blast hit. And then investigators went looking for something outside his body. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police investigated. So did the Royal Canadian Air Force. Canadian Forces personnel became involved. The U.S.-funded University of Colorado UFO Project eventually sent investigators north. And at the alleged landing area, investigators found something else. Radioactivity. Not across the entire forest, just in a small area of soil and rock that produced abnormal readings significant enough for Canadian authorities to investigate where the material might have come from. Of course, they considered a hoax. They looked into whether Michalak could have obtained radioactive material himself. They never established that he had. There is a legitimate problem with the evidence. Michalak returned to the area before authorities completed a controlled examination and removed material from the site. That compromised the chain of custody. Falcon Lake, therefore, cannot honestly be presented as proof of a non-human craft. But the investigation still ended with unexplained elements, like Michalak's illness, his pattern burns, a visible circle at the alleged landing site, and radioactive contamination whose origin was never determined. Something had left a receipt. And then in 1994, something happened at a school in Zimbabwe that made the other half of Valet's model much harder to ignore. Aerial school sat outside of Harare. On September 16, dozens of children were outside during morning recess while the adults were inside. The children suddenly came running back with an extraordinary story. They said something had appeared beyond the edge of the playground, and they said beings were there. No teacher saw it. No adult witnessed the encounter, and that matters. But the number of children made the story difficult to simply forget. Investigators began interviewing them. Harvard psychiatrist John Mack later traveled to Zimbabwe and interviewed 12 of the children. Their descriptions were not identical. They disagreed on some details. But several described beings with unusually large eyes. And some of the children described something that did not sound like ordinary conversation. One girl said the being simply stared at her. Then thoughts came, not words spoken aloud, thoughts about the future, about the environment, about what humanity was doing to the earth. Another child described the experience as something arriving through her conscience while she looked at the being. Now that is an extraordinary claim. There was no instrument measuring telepathy, no recording of any message entering a child's mind, and no adult independently witnessed the encounter. And the environmental message portion became much more prominent in later interviews than it was in the earliest accounts. Aerial cannot establish telepathic communication with a non-human intelligence. What it gives us is something narrower. A group of children reported an extraordinary encounter. Some later described the communication as occurring without normal speech. And those claims were documented while the witnesses were still children, not invented for a podcast 30 years later. That is the part that matters here, because Valet and Davis had created a category specifically for reports just like this. A physical-looking encounter with something apparently happening inside the witness at the same time. It was the same basic collision Cripple had described from another direction. A reported object outside the witness paired with an experience happening inside them. And once those two categories start appearing together, the word spacecraft stops explaining the entire event. It explains the thing in the sky, but it does not explain the thing looking back. Maybe that's the mistake, believing one civilization has to be completely right and all the others completely wrong. Maybe ancient people saw demons where there were none. Maybe medieval villagers turned unexplained experiences into fairy stories. Maybe modern witnesses see advanced technology because technology is the language we understand best. Or humanity may have been encountering something we still do not have a proper category for. Something intelligent enough to interact with us, physical enough to leave marks, strange enough to affect perception, and elusive enough that every generation interprets it through its own worldview. Watcher, djinn, fairy, demon, UFO, UAP, non-human intelligence. Each word feels like an explanation. None of them tells us what the thing actually is. Extraterrestrial does not tell us what it wants. Spiritual does not tell us where it exists. Interdimensional still does not explain how it enters our world. And demonic may describe someone's interpretation without identifying the intelligence behind it. Religion tried to classify it. Folklore tried to classify it. Science is now trying. So when someone looks at a modern UAP encounter and says, well, that sounds like a demon, the interesting part may not be whether they are right. It is that someone living 2,000 years ago might have recognized the same behavior. So maybe ancient people misunderstood what they were seeing. Maybe we do too, because changing the name of something is not the same thing as understanding it. And if humanity really has been encountering the same intelligence under different names for thousands of years, then the strangest possibility is not that it came back. It is that it never left.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons. From tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond, every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Hey, thanks for watching. I'm Ralph. This is Divergent Files, and I appreciate you. Until next time, stay curious, stay sharp, and remember, no matter what they say, the truth is still out there.
These investigations are powered by those who believe truth still matters. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. Join the mission at patreon.com/divergentfiles.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
A burst pipe. A dead water heater. The AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price, void in Florida.